get on me, wanna know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the song that you wrote?
Welcome back to the Jeff Flores Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this, what's led to this Wednesday morning. A bunch of texts to get to. If you could try to squeeze one in, 251-343-0106. A surprised of the level of game warden defenders out there. Big government. Anyway, but you can weigh in on that, and we'll try to work them in at the very, very end here. Joining us now on the line, he is the congressman for currently the 2nd Congressional District, a Republican nominee in the 1st Congressional District from Enterprise, Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jeff. Good. And thank you for having me on. Enjoying this hot weather. I guess we've been having a good bit of heat, getting a little rain, so that's good for our producers.
Well, it's been a monsoon conditions here in my part of Baldwin County today. Hopefully they dry out soon for the holiday. Let me ask you this, though. Since last time we talked, Congressman, what's going on in the world? Just first, your reaction to Joe Biden's collapse here.
Yeah, just, it was, I think we knew, many of us, especially those of us in D.C., and even people who are just, who were unbiased, just watching what they would see on media and where Biden would be doing these events, and you could tell he just wasn't with it. I mean, he was turning the walk-off stage where there were no steps and shaking people's hands who didn't exist and sitting in chairs that may not have been on the stage. But so we all kind of saw this, but I was astonished really at how poor he performed. We knew it, but I think even the media in general is starting to wake up, because prior to that, they were all talking about how sharp Joe Biden is. He was sharp, sharp, sharp. The American people got to see that he's not sharp and he's not capable of leading the country. And even her in his report in Judiciary said he's an old man who has issues, and that's why they didn't prosecute him for the sensitive top secret documents that he had. So the people who had spent any time with him at all or knew any and just weren't looking at it with these rose-colored glasses realized the man is in a bad shape. And I think the American people kind of saw a dose of that during the debate. They were, if they didn't know it, they should know it by now.
But they should have known it, right? And we were all this time, Congressman, we just were very, very reliant upon the media. That stuff about Biden being out of it is fake news. And turns out, the lack of critical analysis, especially at this stage of the game, I mean, it's June before presidential election. Here they are scrambling at the last minute.
I was actually amazed. I couldn't believe they agreed to a debate. Of course, they had they did away with the hot mics and the audience, and they just did a lot of things to kind of help him succeed in the process to continue this cover up of what we know is his cognitive decline. And in many ways, I cannot believe we didn't know it, but I think it shows how fake the media is and how much they are in the tank for the DNC and the Biden administration, and how they're covering up a multitude of sins.
Yeah, for them, it's like in that town, D.C., it's a social club. It really is a situation where, people got to, cozy up to the current administration or the current Democrat administration. It hasn't been that way for Republicans in a long time, just for access. And the problem is, here in 2024, and we'll go back to 2020 and COVID, but and everything since then, we allow them to create these narratives, and then they become our governing principles.
Yeah, and we know, and most of us know, and you know this for sure with your time in D.C. and in the media, that the media is so biased, and that the power structure protects itself, and the media goes along with it, especially if it's the uniparty or the establishment, like you said, to just cozy up to them. And it astonishes me sometimes the same set of talking points, no matter which TV station or channel or radio you're listening to. So they're getting their marching orders much like I think Biden is. They're getting them from somebody, and they're all pushing these narratives. And now when you pull the veil back and you look at the man on stage during the debate and you realize he literally has no business in this position. I think it weakens us globally too. When you see the world leader, the most powerful country in the world, he can't put a sentence together, and he can't carry out thoughts, and it's concerning for our national security. But even the direction of the country, we knew he wasn't running the show. I think it was just his team and the people around him, and this establishment swamp crowd that we know about and hear about and Trump talks about. They've been running this country, and they're running it in the ground.
They're running in the ground, and you don't dare question them. But now all of a sudden, like you said, the curtains have been pulled back, and we see what's going on. I mean, think of all the other things over the years that they have misled, I think, the public on. And we were told if you dare dissent, your Russian propaganda or something of that sort. And I think, like, now this house of cards they have built with this and some of these Supreme Court decisions is really beginning to fall apart.
I think it is collapsing before our very eyes, and I think it couldn't come soon enough, because if what's happening in our country and what the American people are suffering through and what our allies around the world are seeing is that, hey, this country is in big, big trouble, and our leaders don't know what he doesn't know where he's at, and this team of people doesn't. It's like they got a globalist agenda. They're not really about protecting Americans first or this country there. And that's the system that I think is in many ways running this administration. It's a globalist approach to everything rather than taking care of America first. And so, you know, I'm glad to see it collapsing. It couldn't come soon enough. And I'm still astonished that 24 or 30% of the people say they're still supporting Joe Biden or thought he did all right in the debate. They must not have seen the same debate that many of us saw.
No, and they're always going to be on that side of things. But now, you know, Republicans have this opportunity here, Congressman, and while like most of the conservative, right of center media and a lot of these mouthpieces have been like really keenly focused on what's going on in Biden world, are Republicans going to pull this off? And I'm not talking about just Trump, but I'm talking about the House, the Senate, even the state level, all these other down ballot things. Is this going to be what really makes a difference, you think?
Yeah, I think so, Jeff, because if Trump does well, we'll do well as a nation, and down the ballot, we'll do well. And I think in general, even if Trump wasn't at the top of the ticket, that wasn't a Biden Trump battle at the top of the ticket, I still think the American consumers, the people out here who may just will go to work every day and they're not paying attention to the political, when they go to the gas pump or the grocery store, they're getting hit, and they're getting hit hard, and they know what we're doing is not working for them. And you couple that with the crime and the border, which is getting more and more reported, these crimes that these people that we've let across this border, these 9 or 10 million, however many it is now. I think in many ways, so you got inflation if you didn't have Biden and Trump, but also just the insecurity, the wars, the potential wars around the globe that are going on, 7 embassies that have been closed under Biden's watch. We've never had that happen. So that just tells the people that we're in big, big trouble. And regardless, I think Trump's the man, obviously, to help fix it. I love the fact that he's kind of an outsider and he's not a part of the establishment. But even the everyday Americans who just, like I said, buying groceries and getting gas, they're getting hit in the pocketbook. And inflation is a cruel, cruel thing. It's a tax that gives nobody a break, no matter what your income level is. And so I think that we've got an excellent opportunity here as a party, as Republicans, to elect Donald Trump, to win the Senate, to gain more seats in the House. I had a friend of mine on the floor. He was from California. He was talking about these primaries. And the way it went in California, he said he thinks we gained 15 seats in the House just based on what he saw and how those seats typically, they're close and sometimes, but I don't know what all he was tracking, but he says it does not look good for the Democrats going into November.
Well, tell me something here. In 2016, Republicans pull off the upset. Donald Trump wins the presidency, but they also carry the House and the Senate. And just like it seemed like nothing happened. You had this like weird.
Because Jeff, those people that were there, the Paul Ryans of the world, they were all part of the Uniparty. It was not really. And that's what I think Trump realizes. And then I think now he has an opportunity to. And he's a fast, fast learner, is that we have to make changes within our own party, but also the bureaucracies. The thing that we're trying to do now, and I think it's we need to figure out a list of regulations that we can undo immediately with the stroke of a pen from the White House and let the legislative process follow. But to get the regulations and reduce the things that are crushing the economy and quit the runaway spending that is causing inflation, there are so many arrows in our quiver, if you will, some opportunities to do some great things. I don't see Trump. I think he's going to step on the gas. And it's what Biden did opposite. I mean, he repealed the 90 executive orders that Trump had secured the border. And so those are things that we can do day one that the American people are going to see. There's going to be a response to that. The economy is going to respond. And Trump had three of the best GDP years, the best economic growth in our country and the history of this country until COVID hit. And so he has an opportunity to replicate that without some of the mistakes. And I think he trusted the system. As a business guy, when you normally walk in, if you're the president of a corporation, you make a decision and the people down the chain of command execute those decisions. What Trump realizes, the people within that system just below him and on first and second tier management and directorships and secretaries, they're all part of the system. They figure we'll outlast Trump. But I think we realize as American people, to drain that swamp, you got to cut that mid-level, upper level, the bureaucrats out, decrease the regulations, and get business back to normal like it was under his watch. And I think you'll see this economy recover. I think the country will be well-respected. And I am looking forward to this opportunity to serve with him. I've never served with him as president of the United States. I think there's some opportunities to gain some ground here and make some differences.
Well, that was like where I was going with this question, you know, that what do you do on day one, and how do you – force the, you're always going to have these establishment Republicans, uniparty Republicans. How do you make them move? How do you make them say, this is what we're going to do, regardless of what 2026 looks like or any of that calculus? How do you get them going?
Yeah, I think that comes from leadership, right? Strong leadership. I think from Trump and the White House, he can put a lot of pressure on our guys to do the right thing. But I see our numbers within the House Freedom Caucus. Those ranks, too, there's a conservative. We've actually done approach bills we hadn't done in decades. We got five out. I mean, so the process in D.C. is changing. We've had to fight with Pelosi and Schumer and Biden for the last, you know, few years since I've been there. And so I think there is an excellent opportunity, and we have the football. We will have the football in November. And I've said this before, as a party, the American people are looking at us to make some significant changes and gain some ground to gain back some of the ground that's been lost under this tyranny of Biden, Pelosi, and Schumer. And I think that our guys will be wise to do what the president and what the conservatives within our own party advise them to do. The American people will respond positively for that if you do, but they will certainly hold us accountable if we do not. So I think the midterm under Trump is going to be a telltale, but I think when he goes in, there's an opportunity for us to pick the ball up and move it downfield and get closer to our goal line.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here for a few more minutes here on the program. Supreme Court very active in the last, in the very end of the term here. Just real quick, tell us, what did you make of some of these decisions?
Well, I love I think it was an incredible victory for Trump on the immunity, clause, because the DOJ without question has been weaponized against this administration. They were weaponized against Trump when he was running against Hillary. They have been weaponized for some period of time. Trump put some Supreme Court justices on. The court system, justice moves slow sometimes, and this has been frustrating for many of us. But going through the process and the court ruling to give him immunity, I think that it had to be a huge just victory for his team, but for our country and for our nation. So that certainly, there had been a kangaroo court system going on prosecuting Trump. And the fact that he didn't walk away and he stayed in the fight says a lot about who he is and how much he loves his country. He doesn't need the job, obviously. We just need him as a leader. And so the fact that they would stop at nothing to take him out, and he stood in the fight and the courts ruled in our favor, I think that just is one more thing on the tail of the debates. I think that just is more fuel for our fire to proceed to get this man into the White House and correct the direction of this country. And I certainly hold some of these people accountable that are responsible for these travesties of this weaponization of government going after the political opponent, the number one political opponent of the executive branch.
The other big one, I think, is the Chevron doctrine case, really takes apart, dismantles the authority of the bureaucracy, where they, I don't know how this came to be, but are able to write their own quote-unquote rules that are enforceable like they are laws, and to make the matters even worse, they're enforceable like laws, and they're forcing the people that they regulate to pay for them. It's gotten out of hand, and I guess finally the court stepped in and said, all right, enough of this.
I tell you how it came to be through Congress and us not doing our job over these years and not having to want to handle these issues. We gave these bureaucrats within these agencies, these unelected bureaucrats, the authority to act like the law, but they do not. The court says they do not have that authority. I can remember when I was flying to D.C. during COVID, it would say federal law requires that you wear a mask, and I thought to myself, I don't remember voting on that, Jeff. So these laws, that they're these things that they're calling laws, it's just these bureaucrats with the stroke of a pen, and that cripples our country, that cripples industry, that cripples freedom and liberty and opportunities for those folks. And because, you know, Reagan said it, I say it all the time, he said, the government's out here on the commons. When it's moving, you tax it. If it keeps moving, you regulate it. Fails, you subsidize it. These bureaucrats became regulators, and their regulations became law in some ways, and it punishes business and it punishes opportunity in this country. And so that might be one of the greatest rulings we've had in recent. I love the immunity case, but that right there itself, tying the hands of these bureaucrats, because draining that swamp, part of the process is limiting their power. And the fact that the court's lining up now with us in this situation, I think there's opportunities for us to take some of that power back, not just from bureaucrats, but also from the executive branch. I don't think a president, whether it be Biden or whoever, just, you know, can go out and just with the stroke of the pen. We want Trump to have the authority, but not in a way that they can abuse, and it's not in law and it doesn't go through the legislative process. There's three branches of government for a reason. And so there's certainly an opportunity now that the courts rule for us to take some of that power back from these bureaucrats. But also it gives Trump immunity to do the job he needs to do without, in some ways, just, I think these executive branches, executive orders, the things that we've done over the years, we've lost power, and the voice of the people is in Congress. And every 2 years we're running for the House. You guys out in everyday America, we lose our voice if we don't do our job in Congress. But I'm glad that the courts have said, hey, enough is enough. You bureaucrats, quit making law by edict, and let's vote on stuff. Let's make it. Let's do it the right way and vet these things rather than just crippling industry because some bureaucrat in there thinks, oh, that's a bad idea. And especially when you've got some people that are so woke within those systems, they can absolutely they will stifle the economy and they will crush business. And we've seen that. And so I think that no doubt this is going to be a ruling that's going to play an impact in the economy.
Darks, we've got to leave it there. We're out of time, but I hope you have a happy 4th of July, and hopefully we'll get you out again next week.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. See you, man.
All right. Congressman Barry Moore there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old bandit run.